Stand, please, in reverence to the reading of God's Word, chapter 6. I'm going to start reading at verse number 12 of the 6th chapter of 2 Chronicles. And he stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands. For Solomon had made a brazen scaffold of 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad and 3 cubits high, and had set it in the midst of the court. And upon it he stood and kneeled down upon his knees before all the congregation of Israel and spread forth his hands toward heaven and said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth this covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. Thou which has kept with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, and spakest with thy mouth, and hast filled it with thine hand, as it is this day. Now therefore, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that which thou hast promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit upon the throne of Israel, yet so that thy children take heed to their way to walk in my law, as thou hast walked before me. Now then, O Lord God of Israel, let thy word be verified which thou hast spoken unto thy servant David. But will God in very deed dwell with men on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Have respect, therefore, to the prayer of thy servant and to his supplication, O Lord my God, to hearken unto the cry and prayer which thy servant prayeth before thee, that thine eyes may be open upon this house day and night, upon the place whereof thou hast said that thou wouldest put thy name there, to hearken unto the prayer which thy servant prayed toward this place. Hearken, therefore, unto the supplications of thy servant and of thy people Israel, which they shall make toward this place. Hear thou from thy dwelling place, even from heaven, and when thou hearest, forgive. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, I certainly want to thank you today for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. And I thank you for the great privilege you give us, Lord, to gather in Sunday school classes and children's churches, and Lord, all you've allowed us to do today, and Lord, in this meeting here in the auditorium, thank you for the privilege of the Word of God, the preaching of your Word. And Father, we certainly ask your blessings be upon us today. Lord, we need to hear from you, and we ask, Lord, that you just help us, Lord, keep our spirits right, keep us ready to listen to the Bible, the Word of God, and then to apply it to our life. And Father, if there's anyone here that's unsaved, I would pray, Lord, this would be the day of their salvation. God, did come to Christ, be born into the family of God, and become that wonderful child of God that you want them to be. Now, once again, Lord, today, your will be done, and we'll thank and praise you for it. In the lovely name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Solomon and the people of Israel had just finished building the temple. Solomon came along in the first part of chapter 6 and gave them a sermon, short sermon. Don't pray too much, I may not do that. But he gave them a very short sermon, and then he began to pray. And the prayer was a wonderful prayer, asking the blessings of God and forgiveness of God upon the people of Israel. In fact, if we would have continued on down in that portion of Scripture in chapter 6, you'll notice in verse 23, he says, Then hear from heaven, and do, and judge thy servants. Over and over, as we skip down through chapter 6, you'll find him asking again for God to hear from heaven. In verse number 5, he says, 25, he says, Then hear thou from heaven, and forgive the sin of thy people Israel. In verse number 27, he says, Then hear thou from heaven and forgive the sin of thy servants. If you look in verse number 30, he says, Then hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. He goes on and he says in verse 33, Then hear thou from heaven even from thy dwelling place. And he goes on down in verse number 35, and he says, "Then hear thou from heaven their prayer and their supplications." And then he goes on in verse 39, he says, "Then hear thou from heaven." And over we found that in chapter 6 of him beseeching God to listen to their prayer and hear and forgive. And you notice that over in chapter 7 of 2 Chronicles, you'll notice that God answers. And here's what he says in verse number 12 of chapter 7. He says, "And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. Now if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God answers and said, yes, if these things happen, and even Solomon in his prayer talked about if God's people would turn away from him and not do right, and God would withhold the rain from the land and cause the crops to fail and things like that. He said, would you still hear from heaven? And God then in chapter 7, verse number 14, says, yes, I will, but here's the way I will hear. Here's the conditions upon how I will hear you and how I will do something about your dilemma. And today we're going to preach a message which we've entitled On the Road to Revival. We believe, you've heard this preacher preach enough that you know how he believes about revival. It's deeply needed. All over America, it's needed so much. Revival is needed. And I just believe that the hearts of God's people so need to be stirred for revival. And I believe that with all of my heart. And we need that. I'm not talking about just in Jasonville, Indiana. I'm not talking about just Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think that's true all across this land. I believe there's a great need for a real revival. Brother Joe Asbury preached on the subject of a revival last Sunday night and done such a good job, fine message, and we appreciated it so much. And we are going to, the first point, I'm going to cover a little bit of what he covered. I didn't steal it, Brother Joe. I'm just going to recover it a little bit. But anyway, we want to just make mention of some things here today, that there's some things that God says. There's some requirements for revival. I mean, there's requirements for revival. It's not a matter of just simply saying, okay, God, send us revival. He's the only one can. Now, there's no doubt about that. He's the only one can. But there's also some requirements for revival. And the first one was, I know Brother Asbury touched on this, but the first one was there's a relationship that is necessary to have revival. And of course, you can't be revived if you're not saved. You must be born again or you can't be revived. Someone who's not saved cannot be revived. They just need to be born again. They just need to be saved. But the Christian needs revival. And the Word of God talks about it here. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, he's talking about his people, not people who have simply come and played church or acted like they was God's people or whatever. He said, if my people, he's talking about his people, someone who has truly been born into the family of God, someone who is truly saved. And I trust that you are today. I want you to be saved. God wants it more than I do, but I want you to be saved, and I want you to be born again. I want you to be sure of your salvation. Right now as I preach, I want so much for every person in this room to be able to say, you know, Brother Ross, I am saved. I'm God's child. I want that for you. I mean that with all of my heart. I want that. That's a marvelous thing. One man, a young man, put his hand up back here. I see your hand. He's saying, I'm saved. I'm God's child. Well, amen. That's good. And it's wonderful to be saved. Amen. But you must be saved in order to get revived. And it tells me something else. It tells me that there's times when God's people aren't always everything that we ought to be. So we need revived. We need revival. And I believe with all of my heart, we need it. We need it in America. We need it at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're seeing great things happen around here. God is so good to us, and we're seeing good things and wonderful things. But we need revived. There'd be a whole different of a spirit around here if we'd get revived. You just wouldn't be able to contain it. It's just a marvelous thing when God does some reviving in His church. And we need that. Every single person, I believe, needs that. So, first of all, you've got to be born again. You got to be saved. You got to know you're God's child, ready for heaven. And not speaking of revival right now, you need to be saved. You need to be born again. Amen? If you're unsaved, you need to get saved. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord and be born into God's family. You're born again by not by corruptible seed, but by uncorruptible seed, by the Word of God. You're saved by this Bible. In other words, it tells you how to be saved. The Word of God tells you how to be saved. Through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins, went to that cross, died there, paid the whole penalty for your sin, taken down off of that cross, buried, 3 days later rose again for your justification. What a marvelous thing. God did that for you. You're here today. You need to be saved. Now, I'm asking you, please don't go from this place just simply saying, you know, I hope I'm a Christian, or I think I'm a Christian. Go from this place today getting that thing settled. Know for sure that you're God's child before you leave this place today, that you're born into God's family. I'm going to take you over to the book of Acts, the 11th chapter of Acts, for a few moments. We must be God's people, and we must be called by His name. In the book of Acts, the 11th chapter, verse number 19, I'm going to begin to read. Now they which were scattered abroad, this is Acts the 11th chapter, 19th verse. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. I want you to notice, first of all, simply that there was those there at Antioch that believed, and they turned unto the Lord. First of all, just let me say something. You must believe. You must truly, in your heart, believe. These people believed and turned unto the Lord. You're going to be God's child. You've got to believe. You got to believe in your heart that Jesus is absolutely who He said He is, and that you're an old sinner and needs saved, and He went to the cross to die for you, and He's paid the cost for you. You've got to believe that in your heart, and that's when you turn to the Lord. You don't believe upon your heart and then turn to the world. Oh, you're already in the world. You turn unto the Lord. You turn to Him and say, I believe upon You, Lord Jesus. You're the Savior. You're the only one can save me. And the world can't help me. Those back there can't do anything for me. But Lord Jesus Christ, You can. You can help me. You can save my soul. You can give me eternal life. So you must believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, secondly, it's a wonderful thing after you believe to understand that you belong to Him. Listen to what he says in the 22nd verse. These tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. We find here that Barnabas came to Antioch, and he noticed, it was always interesting to me to notice that it says he saw the grace of God. Now, how can you see the grace of God? Through people. What God has done for people, their lives. He saw people who had believed. And he saw the grace of God and saw that they had turned to the Lord. They wasn't trusting their old ways anymore, the things of the world. They was trusting in God. They turned to him. And he saw that. He witnessed that. He looked and he saw. You see, that's what God wants us to do, is be a witness to people without of the grace of God. What God's done for you, what God's done for me. You see, we ought to be a witness. We ought to be able to look at us and see, I saw the grace of God. Amen. But notice down there when he says in verse number 24, it says, much people were added unto the Lord. Did you realize that when you get saved, you just get added unto the Lord? It's a marvelous thing to belong to the Lord. It's a marvelous thing to know that today, since I believed, I belong to him. I mean, I've been added unto him. Amen. I belong to him. I'm not anybody else's. I belong to him. I'm not Satan's anymore. No, I don't belong to Satan anymore. I belong to the Lord. Amen. Why? Because I believed upon him. Amen. I believed upon him. And then if you'll notice in verse number 25, verse 26, he says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. If you notice there, it says not only did they believe on the Lord and belong to the Lord, they had a desire to be like the Lord. Now, being like the Lord is not what saves you, but since you are a Christian, the word Christian means Christ-like. Now, that's why they called them Christians. They said, well, them folk are Christians. Why did they say them folk are Christians? Because they look like Christ. They was acting like Christ. They was behaving themselves like Jesus would behave himself. Amen. So when the preacher gets up and preaches and says, you believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you belong unto the Lord, now you ought to act like it. I'm being very scriptural. See, I'm being very scriptural because that's what we ought to do. We ought to look like him. In other words, we ought to act like him. We ought to behave ourselves like him. Why? Because we are Christians. We're Christ-like. Amen? All right. Then, of course, not only is there a relationship that we must have to have revival, and of course that relationship is we must become a child of God, there's also some requirements for revival. Now, I'm going to go back over to the book of 2 Chronicles. He says in 2 Chronicles, the 14th verse of chapter 7, if my people which are called by my name, the first thing he simply says is, shall humble themselves. Now, folks, there's something that God says to get revival, there's going to have to be some humbling. There's going to have to be some humility. True humility before the Lord. We must humble ourselves. The Bible says we're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. We're to humble ourselves before him. In his sight, we're to humble ourselves. That's the opposite of pride. That's opposite of it. That's the opposite of that prideful spirit that sits and says, no one's going to tell me anything. I'm going to do it my way. That's pride. That's not humility. Never will be. And God says for a person or a church or whoever it might be, is going to get revival, they're going to have to humble themselves. Now, let me say this. It should not be, but it's one of the most difficult things for Americans to do. I believe there's very little humility in America today, as overall. We're so proud. We know we take care of ourselves. We provide for ourselves. We've got good jobs. We're the ones taking care of everything. No one's going to tell me what to do. That's not humility. That's pride. Amen? That's pride. And God says, if you want revival, you're going to have to humble yourself. You see, God's people are going to have to humble themselves. Right now, let me ask you a question. I can't answer it. Do you have a humble spirit right now sitting, listening to this message? Have you got a humble spirit, or you got a spirit of pride? You could pretty well answer that by what you're feeling inside, what you're thinking about inside. Do you have a humble spirit? You're willing to humble yourself before God Almighty and in his sight? Are you willing to do that? I mean, can you say to the Lord, Lord, I'm willing to humble myself before you? Or is there pride swelling up? What I'm saying is, revival don't come except through humility. Amen. There has to be humility before revival can come. God said that in answer to all the requests that Solomon made. And hear me from heaven. Oh, hear us from heaven. He said, I will if you humble yourself. My people, he said. He wasn't talking to the world. He was talking to my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Amen. So God's people is going to have to humble themselves just like Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Jesus humbled himself. He set the great example of humility. Now I'm saying again to you, it all depends on whether you want revival or not. There'll be no revival in your heart and or my heart either unless we're willing to humble ourselves in the sight of God. Humility. Amen. Well, mark that down. Get a hold of that, because you walk out of here this morning, it's going to depend on whether you're going to get revival or not. Because that's the first thing. You don't get by the first one, you can't do the rest of them. God doesn't give us a list and say, well, just move out those things you don't want to do and we'll just give you revival. No, he just says, humble yourself first of all, because that's the one thing that man has trouble with is pride. So God says we've got to humble ourselves. Now the next thing he tells us is that we've got to pray. Now he says we've got to pray. Folks, I believe more than likely it's one of the greatest sins in the church today is the lack of prayer. Say, Brother Ross, how do you know that? I think God told me that. I just think God bore witness with my heart that I don't know your prayer life. I don't know what you do. But I'm going to tell you right now that I have a feeling there's not much praying going on. And God says we've got to pray. We've got to humble ourselves and pray. What does prayer do? Well, prayer says we can't do it. God can. No way we can do it. No, God, you can do it. That's why we're praying to you. That's why we're asking you for help. Because we're recognizing that you're the only one can do it. So that's why we pray. See, it goes along with the humility. You know, now, did you notice here was King Solomon? Did you notice what it said? He made himself that scaffold. Said he stood on it, but he didn't stay standing. The Bible says he knelt down on his knees and spread his hands out toward heaven and began to talk to God. He humbled himself before God and he began to pray. Now, folks, there's requirements for revival. We want to humble ourselves before God, and then we've got to pray. Amen. There won't be no revival. Now, you do it God's way. Now, folks, we don't do it our way. God don't just say, okay, you left some things out. We'll just go give you revival. No, 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 no. No, no, no. God says you do it my way. Now, you humble yourself, and you pray. And then you seek the face of God. In your prayers, you're seeking God's face. You're asking His will be done. His purpose in your life, not yours or mine. But His purpose, His will, seeking the face of God. God, what is it you want us to do? And we'll do it. Amen. So you're going to have to humble yourself. We're going to have to humble ourselves. Going to have to pray, and you're going to have to seek God's face. You know, I wish every one of us would do something before this revival. I wish every one of us would seek the face of God and say, God, who are those folk that you want me to contact and do their best to get them into the house of God to hear the salvation messages that's going to be preached? God, who are they? Give me a list and get your pencil out and let God go over that with you. And as He brings it to your mind, you write down the people who you've been thinking about. God put upon your mind that needs saved, that are lost and on their way to hell, and they need saved. And God will tell you some people if you'll seek His face. And you pray for them. And you do more than pray. You go and see them. You visit them. You invite them. You do everything under the sun you can that you can personally do to get them to the house of God. That's seeking God's face, seeking His will instead of ours. Amen. Now there again, do we want revival? Do we want revival? And not only that, He says you must turn from our wicked ways. Now that's what God says. He said, we must turn from our wicked ways. Seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Now, folks, listen to me. Okay? Listen to me. I don't know your personal life. Most of you, I don't know. I don't know what you do inside your homes. I don't know what you do in your spare time. I don't know what you do in your thought life. I don't know what occupies most of your time and your thinking. Now, this is an old cliche, but let me say that God does. Amen? I mean, God does. That goes without saying, but that's just the truth. God does. Now, he says there's some wicked ways that need to be turned from. Now, if we say, God, I'm going to seek your face, I'm going to humble myself, I'm going to pray, I'm going to seek your face, and I've got some things in my life, oh Lord, that I just want to hang on to, folks, it isn't going to work. God's looking for a people that means business with God. He's looking for us to seek, to look at our life and search our life out, and let him say to us, according to his word, there's some things you need to get corrected in your life, and I'm willing to do it because I want revival. And some of those things usually are difficult things. A lot of times it's things that are different in different individuals. For every individual in here is different. And I would dare say to you that every individual in here has some things that they need to correct. I don't think there's anyone in here could stand up and say, oh, Brother Ross, and if I was standing, I'd have to sit down. I'm perfect. I don't think anybody in here could do that. I think all of us needs to search our heart and life about things that are not right in our life. It needs to be corrected and maybe needed to be corrected years ago. And God says, if you'll just seek my face and turn from your wicked ways, there needs to be some turning. You know what that is in your life. I don't have to say it. I've just got to look at mine. But there's things in every life in here could be better. Amen? And in fact, and I'm not being smart, is anybody would say to me, well, Brother Ross, I've thought and I just can't think of anything. Well, I've already got it. It's pride. So if you need me to help you name it, just come see me. We'll search it out. Amen? And the first one would be pride, because I don't know of anybody in here today that could say we're what we ought to be. But God says, get rid of it. Turn from your wicked ways. And you want revival? God says, I'll give you revival. And you see, that's requirements for revival. That's requirements. There's a relationship, and then there's requirements. And then there's the results of revival. Pastor Jerry, aren't you so proud of me? I got three R's. Relationship, requirement, and results. I worked 5 weeks for that. Don't expect another one for about 3 months. But there's the results of revival. Amen? And what does he say? Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God said he will hear our prayers. Now that's pretty important. So many times we just pray to God. We just lift up our voice as though that it's not important how our life is or what we're doing or what we're thinking. We just figure since we prayed, God ought to listen. God said you get some things cleared up and then I'll listen. Be glad to listen. In fact, I want to listen. I want to hear. And so God says he'll hear our prayer. Amen. Not only that, he says I'll forgive your sin. I'll forgive it. Amen? I mean, I'll forgive it, God said. I'll just cleanse it. Can't get any better than that, folks. God is willing. That's what he was telling Solomon, you see. That's what he was telling Israel. And Israel was saying, you need to hear us. You know, you've taken the rain and you've taken it away from us. You've done all that. He said, I'll listen to you. I'll hear you. I've seen all your sin. I've seen all you've done, but I'll hear you. If you just humble yourself and pray, seek my face and turn from your wicked way. He said, I'll hear you. Amen. What I'm saying to us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we need to listen to God. We need to do these things. Now, don't look over at your neighbor and say, boy, if she'd just or he'd just get his life straightened out, boy, things would be a lot better around here. That don't work. And I just have a feeling we'd find some things. Amen. Don't you? So he says, I'll hear from heaven, I'll hear their prayer, and I'll forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Oh, I just want to tell you something, and I think you already know it. America is a land that needs healed. She's in terrible shape, folks. She has no reason to be. I'm going to be preaching a message tonight on the church, and I want to say something to you, folks. America has no reason to drive around America and see all the churches in this land and have a reason for living the ungodliness that they're living. That's pathetic. Bibles in every home. I'm sure there's homes now that don't have Bibles, but used to there was Bibles in every home. Unread. Did not know them. Did not want what they said. I'm just saying is our land is in terrible condition, and God says I can send revival. But even if he doesn't send national revival, he can send local revival. He can send revival to this church and to this area. God can do it, or whatever area, God can do it. And he says, if you meet the requirements, he said, I'll be glad to do that. Amen? Yeah, he did. He said, I'll hear their prayer, I'll forgive their sin, and he says, I'll heal their land. Now, folks, listen, simply, revival costs. John R. Rice put out a booklet years ago. I haven't read it for years, but it was a good booklet. He put out a booklet called The Cost of Revival. Now, revival costs, and we're either willing to pay for it or we're not going to get it. We got to be willing to come to the Lord and show forth that we're sincere about this thing called revival. We want personal revival. We want church revival. Yes, but we got to have personal revival to get church revival. Amen. You're not going to have church revival if we don't have personal revival. And we need personal revival. I believe with all my heart, every person in this room, I believe the preacher, I believe the deacons, I believe Sunday school teachers, I believe bus workers, I believe children's church workers, I believe nursery workers, I believe the tape room, I believe the ushers. Boy, I'm going to leave out somebody, and you're going to say they don't need it. But I mean all of us need revival. In every aspect of this church, we need revival. Well, there's a cost to be paid. And God can send us great revival, wonderful revival. He can do that right here in Jasonville, Indiana. And I want to see that. Amen. Don't you? Joe Asbury said, you've heard your preacher say it too. I've never truly seen real revival. I heard Brother Asbury say that the other night, and I said back there, amen, because I haven't either, Brother Asbury. Not real revival. I've seen some wonderful things. Oh, my, wonderful things. But I've never truly seen a moving of God upon a church or a community that would be referred to as real revival. Never have. But I sure would like to. It's a cost to be paid. You've got to have the right relationship. You've got to meet the requirements. And then you get the results of revival. Amen. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes.